Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our scripture lesson for this morning is found, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, beginning with verse 54. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Here ends our scripture. Would you please bow your head with me? Well, gracious Father, I pray that you would take these lips that are not worthy to speak your name and use them to speak your name this morning, clearly, reliably, truthfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You ever have that empty feeling, that lonely feeling, that plaintive kind of feeling? I cannot think of any place where I've ever been overcome by that feeling more so than in a cemetery, standing at the side of a grave, having just listened to the pastor finish his scripture reading. The hymns have all been sung. And now the honor guard is folding the flag, and they finish folding it, and that flag that was draped over the coffin, and they hand it to the widow. And then the bugler plays taps. And taps is slow and mournful, isn't it? And if you've ever noticed, there are no whispers going on when taps is played. No conversations. Just listening. Listening and contemplating the shortness of this life. Contemplating death. Nothing to distract you during that song. It sort of plays in the background of your mind. It's kind of ironic, I think anyway, that a song that was originally written simply about going to sleep at night in the Lord's care, actually a simple lullaby, became known as the song of sadness and death, played for our military oftentimes when they have passed from this life. It's ironic, isn't it? It's just a lullaby. But it's taken on a new meaning, hasn't it? In our lesson for this morning, St. Paul speaks of another irony, sort of the opposite of that one, I guess. And the irony that he speaks about is that this formidable shadow that overshadows our life from beginning up to the end, this death, this thought of death that looms over us all of our life. When was the first time you realized that you were going to die? I bet it was in grade school or maybe kindergarten, maybe before that, depending on if your family spoke of it. And yet Paul says now that this formidable shadow that has loomed over us all our life has been swallowed up in victory. That's his irony. There are some truths, several, contained in our scripture passage this morning. I would like to mention two of them to you this morning. And the first one is this, truth A, we might call it, is this. Where St. Paul says this, I'm just going to repeat these six words. The sting of death is sin. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? The sting of death is sin. After all, it was sin, that first sin by Adam and Eve, that brought death into the world, isn't it? Right? There would be no death if it wasn't for sin. And in fact, even if there was death and there was no sin, there would be no pain attached to it, no suffering, no shame in it. The word that is used here for sting, the sting of death, is sin. The word used there for sting is used in another place in the Bible to refer to a scorpion's sting. In other places, it simply means a sharp point, like the point of a spear. Clearly, it's something unpleasant, isn't it? It is sin that makes death such a painful thing now and for multitudes in eternity to come. I've been to the Gulf Coast a few times, and at some seasons of the year, there are lots of jellyfish washing up on the shore and floating around out in the water. But you know something? I've seen lots of people playing on the beach during those times. Most times there's not very many swimmers at that season. But I've never seen anyone from the beach walk over, pick up a jellyfish, and start playing with it. I've never seen that. It's kind of inviting. You see those little jellies, but I've never done it, and I've never seen anybody else do it. It's too risky, isn't it? Oh, they've got a terrible sting, don't they? Very intensely painful. And for some people, if you're allergic to it, more than just painful, life-threatening. People know better than to play with a jellyfish. Odd, isn't it, then, that a Christian who knows that the sting of death is sin should so often play with it. Play with sin, that is. I wonder if that describes you. I know that it does me. 1,000 ways, aren't there, that sin can pop up in our lives, and things like laziness, things like lust, greed, pride, enforcing my will on other people and not listening to their will at all, not acquiescing to their desires, just selfishness, I guess we might say. Truth A is the sting of death is sin. Truth B, this one we've already mentioned, there is victory over sin and death. Truth B's got two parts. And let's listen to the passage again where Paul elaborates on this. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Part A of truth B is God gives us the victory. You notice the word give. It implies there's a gift, doesn't it? The word give. You know something? When you and I get to heaven, we're not going to see one single person bragging about how he overcame sin so that he could make it into heaven. We'll not see one person doing that because nobody can. Victory over sin can only be received. It's a gift. It's free. And it's given by God. Secondly, then, this victory can only be received from God through one individual, through one person. Listen again. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there it is. We can only receive it through one person. Now, why is that? Why? There are a multitude of gods out there. There are a multitude of things we can believe in. Why is only one of them the right one? Well, because there's only one person who ever came from God, who was God, God the Son, who came to this earth and attained victory over sin and death. So there's only one person who can give that victory to you and me. And that was Jesus. To do that, of course, first thing he had to do was to wear flesh and blood, to wear a body like yours and like mine, and to put himself into submission to God's law, whereas we oftentimes are not in submission to God's law, to live his life in your place, a life he never succumbed to laziness or lust or selfishness, any of the things that you and I succumb to so often. And after he did all that, still the job was only half done. After he lived a perfect life, he'd still only completed half the job. The other half was to take your sins upon himself and suffer and die for those sins, to bleed his blood to pay for those sins. And that's what he did when he went to the cross. And all of that he did to win victory for you over sin and death. So he's the only one who can give it as a gift. He took away your sin and he took all of it. And he did that so you can live forever with him in heaven. And I hope you're saying to yourself right now, wow, he must love me an awful lot. He must want me awful bad to live with him in heaven, because that's really true. And so now then, now that he's done all that and he's given it to you and me as a gift, how do we say thank you for such a gift? Well, St. Paul tells us that too. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Means to hold on to him. Take hold of Jesus and hold him fast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It means to live for him now, doesn't it? Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we pray that you would increase and multiply upon us your mercy, so that with you as our ruler and our guide, we may pass through these things that are temporal in such a way that we finally lose not the things that are eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.